All right. Here it is, podcast. May 11th, 2022. Me and Jason went kind of on a break for a minute. Had some things going on. People got to make money and work and stuff like that because we don't make any money here anymore. Even Anchor has given up on us. Yes, sir. They said, no more. Will we pay you one penny for every listen? Total amount of money we made from Anchor, why they sponsored us, was $52.53.
We're sitting around doing what we do anyway.
I'm bad. Just saying. So if you like sponsoring us or, I don't know, giving us some help.
Well, then you shouldn't have brought up the fact that Anchor doesn't want to sponsor us. That's not really a good selling point, is it?
Nobody
sponsors us, so sponsor us.
Well, I just want to make sure. I'm trying to be honest, you know. I don't want to lie to people saying, you
nobody
know.
Nobody asked. But it's, I don't know, the views, fucking something. Don't know. Don't care.
Who knows? Anyway, so thought we would feature a song from a good friend of mine who, obviously I live in Nashville. He's a musician. We're always promoting music here, you know, local artists, independent artists out there trying to you know, make their money. So he released a song last week called the name of the band is The Darkest Daylights, and the song is Perfect World.
What is it? What's the name of the band and the album title?
It's Darkest Daylights and Devil Tones Volume 1.
Okay.
So if you get a chance, you want to go onto YouTube, check it out. It's a great video. It's a great song. You can follow them on Facebook at Darkest Daylights, Instagram, anywhere you like. You know, the usual places to pick up things. I'm sure they're probably on Bandcamp and YouTube and
at the very least you can find them on the major platform.
I called him up, said, hey man, I'm getting ready to do a podcast, is it all right if I feature your song? You know, he said absolutely. So we're gonna give it a whirl here, you know, the world premiere here on Here It Is Podcast, Darkest Daylights doing Perfect World. Yeah, there it is, man. Darkest Daylights with Perfect World album, Devil Tones, Volume 1. So looking for some new music out there and fill your headphones or your stereo when you're driving to work, check it out. YouTube, and check them out on Facebook, Instagram, all your favorite places, social media outlets. Hopefully they'll be doing some live shows maybe next year. Current band members are out and about doing other things. But that's Matt Farley on drums, his brother John Farley on bass, Andy Blacksugar on guitars, and D.A. Carcos, I think I said it right, I could be saying it wrong, on vocals and guitar. So there. Very, very good, huh? What'd you think of that, huh, Jason?
Yeah, I've got three things. First thing, it's Darkest Daylight.
Darkest Daylight.
No,
dark.
No.
I'm sorry, S. I keep.
Yeah, no S.
Darkest Daylight. Darkest sorry. Daylight.
Well, that's it. It's just, you know, promoting music. Like they probably don't care. But if you're gonna do it in the future,
I think he cares. He was concerned about the audio.
Yeah. secondly, yeah, that song rips. I like it. I'm probably gonna listen to it on the way home. I've got a friend that's a guitarist. I know the type of music he's into, and I'm gonna show him that song because I think he'll really like it.
Yeah,
so.
I've been sending it out to all my friends and having them check it out. So.
Oh, and the third thing, what was the guitarist's name?
Andy Blacksugar.
That's the most guitarist name I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's a great one. Yeah. He's out currently touring with Blondie and
fuck yeah,
and
KMF to him. Yeah, I can tell you about that. I was like, oh shit, two bands that I definitely know.
So obviously a talented bunch of guys there,
yeah,
putting out
good.
Some solid rock and roll. Let's support them, you know, give them some love, you know.
Yeah, I like it. I like the song. I'm gonna check out and more of their stuff, and I imagine they're going to come out with, you know, new stuff.
This is just the beginning, I guess. You know, there's a whole album coming. This is the single release,
the precursor,
the one that got finished.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the best one.
But they put a video together for it. It's on YouTube. It's pretty amazing. It's fun, just kind of rock and roll video.
Yeah, I know what kind of bass that guy has.
Yeah,
I like that bass.
It looks like a Fender. It's not like a Fender.
It's a nice one.
I don't know what brand.
I couldn't tell. Too many quick cuts.
Too many quick cuts.
The music video. That's what you're supposed to do. Unless you're doing like a Bryan Adams music video, then it's all slow transitions.
Yeah. So, well, you know, me and Matt's been friends for quite some time, and we're actually I'm one day older than him.
Nice.
Because it was my birthday last week, and then it was his birthday the day after. Yep. So, which is weird, you know. Like everybody I kind of know, except I don't. Jason is the only probably oddity of people that I know that everybody's birthday is exactly the same.
But my birthday's not May, but I know a lot of people whose birthdays and like around this time.
Yeah,
like,
I'm just trying to like the Thanksgiving, the birthday. I don't know. 9 months back is I think the one last row for the summer.
You know? Quite possibly, yeah. You know? Before you hunker down for the winter,
right? We know November kids are, you know, Valentine's Day presents.
Yeah, I think my parents are just bored in the middle of the winter. It's 2 feet of snow outside, nothing else to do.
Right, but rock and roll, man. I think it's it's still out there. I really believe that, you know, there's a lot of great bands doing a lot of great stuff still.
Oh yeah, there's still a lot of great, you know, local bands, people that are coming up. And
don't let the media or the pop culture kind of, if that's what you're into, it's cool, you know. But I'm just thinking
that's the way it's always been. It's always like pop music. Apart from,
I'm not saying that there isn't any good pop music out there. It's just so clouded with so much bad pop.
All I'm
music.
Saying is like I don't think it's. I mean, I think there's more stuff and the genres are different, but I don't think it's really changed since. I mean, I'll just go back to the 80s. I don't want to go any further back than that because I don't know. But even then, it's like pop culture. There are some pop songs that were fucking terrible. They're garbage. But there's a couple pop songs that like were legitimately good.
Stand the test of time.
And then there's some pop songs that weren't really good, but now that we look back on them, we like to listen to them for the purposes of nostalgia, you know, I get that too. So I don't think pop music has really gone anywhere, because that's kind of the way it's always been. It's been a lot of trash, a couple of good things, and some things that we'll look back on and be like, you know what, that was good. At least that's the way I like
but
to imagine
I always like to enjoy the band element too, you know, when people play in bands and you just kind of get a different vibe from them, you know. Like when they do solo stuff, they just get to do their own stuff. But when they're a band, yeah. It's like I always tell people, it's like, you know, when you listen to Ozzy is different with Black Sabbath. Because like when he got back together with, you know, like, you know, there was a period of time that he didn't do anything with Black Sabbath. But then they released a record, I think a couple records, if I'm correct. And Ozzy's different. He sings differently. He you know, it's a little more darker, and he's more part of the band. Where, you know, when he does the solo stuff, it's Ozzy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So. It is, yeah. I was thinking, you could have just ended it at, Ozzy is different.
And, you know, and, well, yeah, I mean, he's had some great, he's had some of the best players in the world and some, you know, amazing fantastic, people write songs for him. And he's wrote some great songs, too.
His solo stuff, it's very Ozzy, but it's still good, too.
Stands up, you know. I mean, I enjoy, you know, the new one, Ordinary Man, that he did with Elton John. I thought that, I was like, this is a solid song.
Quality,
you know?
Yeah.
It's good.
Now if nothing else, he's doing it for fucking ever. And it's like at that point, it's like you've got even Ozzy, the drug addled as he is, has a fucking system. He's got the system down.
Yeah, he knows.
Figured out what works.
You know, and like I said, he's had some great players like Zakk Wylde. You know, I mean, just hands down one of my favorite guitar players.
Yeah, he's outstanding. Yeah.
Yeah. And other people like Jakey Lee and Brad Gillis and Randy Rhodes, of course. You know, too bad Randy died because of stupidity, really. I'm sorry. Whenever I hear the story,
I'm
just
like...
No, I
mean, you gotta be honest,
right? If you guys weren't fucking morons, you know, we would still have one of the great guitar players in the world, you know?
Mm-hmm. Instead... I don't know.
Well, we got Brad Gillis. But he's a good guitar player, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's from Night Ranger. But he had to pick up where they, because they were out doing the Speak of the Devil tour, which they were just basically kind of going out and doing Black Sabbath songs and a couple new stuff from Ozzy. But Brad had to go, pick it up after Randy died because they had to keep on with the tour, of course.
Yeah, no, it's, you can't. You know, I mean
Ozzy's
pretty
trying
shitty.
To launch his solo career after Black Sabbath, and he's out doing this tour. So Brad Gillis even said, he goes, it was rough, man. He goes, fucking people would boo me and shit.
Yeah, that sucks.
You know?
I mean, he goes,
I know I'm not
it,
Randy, but, you know. But Brad actually filled in. Like, there's the video, I think, I can't remember which one. I know, I think it might be a Black Sabbath song, but, Brad's there, and he's playing it straight, you know?
Yeah.
He's doing a good job.
I don't know. I see both sides. Yeah, he's got to find a way to make it work. Yeah. I understand the audience's feelings. It's like, you're not the same.
I'm sorry.
You're
not Randy. It's your fault.
Yeah.
Like, it's his fault, you know? Kinda,
yeah.
That's
I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes it's the way things go.
That's the way it happens, you know. You push your luck and do dumb things, you know.
Yeah.
Just sad. Anyway.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. I'm going to fly the plane and tailgate the bus in the air. Yeah.
It didn't really pan out the way.
It panned out.
True.
It panned out across the field.
Yeah. Then you pan up to the sky. Which is funny.
Yeah. I'm sure drugs probably had something to do with it. Maybe excessive drinking. I don't know. I've heard Ozzy may have did that a few times.
Yeah.
Doesn't do it anymore. He can't. He's like...
You know. Might have dabbled. I think all the leftover drugs in the system is still working its way through, so he's still actively high.
He's
going to be high until he's got like a double life sentence of being high. He's going to be dead for 97 years and still be fucking baked out of his gourd.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
He's going to come back as a fucked up ghost.
who the fuck am I?
I really have to listen to that EVP 12 times.
I can't
times.
Believe it. I really am the Bloody Prince of Darkness.
That would be some good music from the grave, though.
But like some Black Sabbath stuff too, you know. I mean, that was you know, Black Sabbath actually didn't make any money off their first four albums. They totally got ripped off by their management company, and they fought with. They still fight it, you know. I mean, it's amazing that they're still around and they kept going.
Yeah,
you know, and.
Well, they had enough of a following. That sucks. I didn't know that they.
Yeah, their management totally ripped them off. And then just worked them to death. You know, just that old school kind of record company mentality.
You want to make money? You got to make
money.
Hey,
you got to get out there.
Well,
like their first manager, when they were starting to get big, when they first were starting to get big, they said, You know, the first manager wouldn't go and renegotiate their contracts. You know, because obviously they were becoming, you know, noteworthy. So that, and even to the point where, like, they would play these gigs and the owners would be like, why aren't you guys making more money?
You know? That's a really good question.
That's a really good question.
I've wondered that myself.
I guess, you know, as a band, you know, I guess they were always trying to avoid, you know, pretty much conflict, I guess. So they didn't really, you know, and then they had this, I forget, this guy, somebody, Patrick or something, I can't remember his name, came in and sold him the whole, you know, hey, you know, we're going to do you right and get you what, you know, you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically didn't. You know, I think Geezer Butler said, it's like, anytime you asked, you know, him about, like, you know, the money and stuff, it was, he never got a straight answer.
No, it was some fucking deflection.
And then, like, Don Arden, who was, like, the mafia record man, you know, owner, he tried to get them. And, like, Don Arden would basically kind of, like, strong-arm people in Britain.
Mafia style. Fucking, yeah.
You know, go, hey, you know, like, he told, I forget who he told. I think he told Jimmy Page. It's like, how would it be, you know, if there was, like, he'd done something, or he was trying to steal, I forget who he was trying to steal from his label to come and, like, play in Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, he was trying to poach somebody.
Yeah, he was trying to poach somebody, and I guess Don called him up because it really sucked to be a guitar player in a band with a fucking broken hand, wouldn't it?
Fuck yeah. Sure would be. Nice hands. Sure would be a shame if something happened to him. It's like Costanza when he's a hand model and he just fucking burns his hands and he's walking around with oven mitts before.
But, yeah, so then they had to get out of that, and then those are those first four albums, like, you know, the Black Sabbath, Paranoid, Master of Reality, and Volume 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of their greatest work, and they barely made money on it.
It sucks. It's fucking bullshit.
And then they ended up going with Don Arden, and then the tour manager, or their manager, was Sharon Arden, who later became Sharon Osbourne.
Ozzy.
So in turn, it worked out for all of them, and of course, you know, Ozzy broke out and did their own solo thing, and then Black Sabbath went through the change and brought Ronnie James Dio in, which, you know, everybody thought it was going to be fucking a dog, and, well, heaven and hell, man, is a fucking great record, you know?
Oh, man,
like, that's one of my favorite, you know, as far as, like, being, you know, a fan of Ronnie James Dio and things, that's Ronnie at his best right there, is Heaven and Hell. You know, I mean, his solo stuff was good, the Rainbow stuff was great, but the Heaven and Hell record for Black Sabbath is probably one of my favorites.
One of my friends, huge fucking Ryan James Dio fan, like, huge Dio fan, and there was an auction, like, after he died and everything, you know, like, whenever he called an estate sale or whatever it is,
right.
And he almost bought, like, his fucking bed, but he got outbid for that, so he ended up getting this, you know, those, like, really big, like, roadie containers where they move all the guitars and equipment and stuff. One of the huge ones. Yeah. He got one of those that was Dio's.
Yeah, nice.
So
nice.
That's still pretty cool. Not his bed. Not that cool.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he could crawl in the box and take a nap.
I guess he could, yeah. Close the lid.
Right next to Ronnie.
Be like a fucking,
I feel you. I feel you, Ronnie James.
Just, like, lock yourself in there in an empty room and just hear from the distance. Holy
dog. Well, they could have fit Ronnie James in one of those boxes.
It's pretty, a huge fucking,
well, he's case, pretty, he was a pretty small guy.
Now, this shit is like fucking one of the big stand-up cases. He could fit a regular human in there. He's a little, he's a little tubbly, but I bet he could still fucking
fit
there.
That's why his first band was called Elf.
Elf, yeah.
Which, there's some good songs on that, too.
Yeah, that man could project.
He sure could. He had that big vibrato, you know.
Yeah, bravado.
But like I said, you know, and then like Black Sabbath, then they had Ian Gillan from Deep Purple came in and did the Born Again record, which was like very interesting. Some people kind of dog it and say it's like one of Black Sabbath's worst albums, but I don't think so. You know, it still holds up on its own. You know, kind of, it's different. You know, it's a little darker. Definitely Ian Gillan from Deep Purple, and he delivers a great performance.
Yeah.
You know,
just a little bit.
And Tony,
of a different
Tony's
sound.
Just good, and Geezer's, and all of them were just, you know, solid, solid.
Yeah,
you know, when you listen to, I mean, even to the point where Frank Zappa said, hey, he's like, Black Sabbath, one of the best bands in the world right now. You know? I mean, back when he was alive, like in the 70s, he said, said that about them.
That's a hell of an endorsement.
That's a hell of an endorsement. He always loved the opening riff to Supernaut. He's like, that's one of the greatest rock and roll riffs ever.
Can we play the opening riff to Supernaut?
You want to hear, the opening riff to Supernaut? It's pretty great. I got to do typing.
Nope. I can't fill dead air for 5
play
minutes.
Play me some typing music, Paul.
Yeah. Crickety crack of the keyboard. I'm sure a typing song is going to be some sort of fucking Randy Newman song.
I don't even know how to spell not.
K-N-O-T.
Well, I don't know, like super, like astronaut.
Oh, astronaut. N-A-U.
N-A-U, yeah.
Yeah. T.
There it is.
I know that's how you spelled it.
Do, do, do. Oh. Yeah, word. This is
that
a fine program.
Makes more sense.
This is a fine executed, well produced program we do here at Here It Is Podcast as we try to find. Yeah, but one of the greatest guitar riffs that Frank Zappa said ever.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know what this song was called. This is a great fucking guitar riff.
Yeah. And just big, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like exactly. You know, when he's just back there. Mm-hmm. Bill Ward's back there just killing the skins, and
it's got a big sound, but it's not overly distorted. Yeah. It's still kind of clean, like the notes.
And then Ozzy comes in, you know, and just got a nice reverb in his voice.
Yeah, I know.
Or maybe
song,
probably.
Yeah. Now I fucking know this.
Yeah.
I just hit it with the cuts.
But yeah.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. That opening riff is very. It's not even iconic.
It's another one. Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But another one I like from them too is Into the Void.
Yeah.
You know, and I like that riff that he opens up with too. You know, I think it's, you know, I don't know. Black Sabbath is just an amazing band.
True. That's the. I mean, that's when we talk about like influential bands. That kind of changed the
right.
You know, it's not about like changing the whole course of music, but it's you definitely move the needle one way, you know, in one direction or another when you have an iconic band. And you were talking about like how a lot of stuff gets tied back to the Beatles, and whether or not you're a huge Beatles fan, like me particularly, I'm not a huge Beatles fan, but I acknowledge how much they changed the course of music, and you have to like give them props for because it influenced most of the shit that we listen to, you know,
absolutely.
From after that to today. Like it's. It's crazy, like, you know, you have to give props. Mad props.
Mad props. You know.
And they are angry.
Yeah. but I guess, you know, Black Sabbath also used to they would do charity things.
Mm-hmm.
And they would play churches.
Yeah, which is hilariously
which
ironic.
Which is hilariously well, because what they always said they were never into the cult or Satanists.
Some
anything.
People just took it that
and,
way.
And you know, it's like if you look at it, it's like there's always crosses, and we're wearing crosses, and there's crosses on our albums.
But they see the dark, you know, album cover, and then like the sort of like the death aspect
of it, and then
they assume that it's like satanic or
satanic,
something.
And you know. So they used to get beat up about it, and they're like, no, we're really...
It's really
like,
not, yeah.
We're really not. You know, if you listen to a couple of their songs, some of them are very religious, you know.
Yeah.
Like, even in Heaven and Hell, you know, which Ronnie James, he says, you know, what does he say? He says, the devil is never a maker, and the less you give, you're a taker. You know? I was like, that's pretty profound, actually, when you think about it, you know?
Well, it was a case of, you know, judging an album by its cover.
Yeah. But yeah, so, like, I guess they played, like, some high school did some kind of fundraiser where they always would invite, like, really big bands to come and play them and sell
their
tickets.
Which is brilliant, yeah.
Which is brilliant, and these bands would actually go.
All it takes is one.
Go and do it, and it was like a Catholic school, like a Catholic high school.
Oh, yeah.
And then one year they invited Black Sabbath to do it,
mm-hmm.
And he goes, And I think either Geezer or Tony was like, I remember, you know, like kind of being on stage or being backstage and, you know, and before we went on to play this charity gig, and I hear one of the priests look over at Ozzy, and he sees Ozzy wearing a big cross. He goes, well, and he looks over at the boys. He goes, well, at least you got a Christian band this time.
Like, yes, yes, we did. Buckle up.
Buckle up. But yeah, you know, there's, I was like, well, that's pretty interesting. That's actually something I didn't know about Black Sabbath. I was like, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah. You know? I think, like Black Sabbath influenced other bands and the sound that they sort of created.
Oh, so totally, completely. Like, they're the first band to tune down.
Do you think you can riff about it long enough for me to grab another drink and come and sit back down?
Maybe. Or we can take a break. We're probably up on 30
That's
minutes
up
anyway.
To you, yeah, we can take a break. But I am genuinely like,
We can take a quick break. You know, we'll just ride out with
BRB. Let's do a
Still
play me off, Johnny.
Still on Supernaut. Or did it start over? Maybe it's ending out. Anyway, so we'll be back. Stay tuned for more antics here about rock and roll music and whatever. Thanks for listening.